our Gospel reading for today, beginning with last week. I was sent only to the lost sheep, the house of Israel.
Lord, help me.
It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs.
Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.
Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. A reading from the Gospel called Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the human one is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." And he said, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." And then Jesus replied, "Happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because no human has shown this to you. Rather, my Father who is in heaven has shown you. And I tell you that you are Peter, and I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of the underworld will not be able to stand against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And anything that you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven. Anything you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven." And then he ordered the disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Christ. The word of the Lord is addressed to us today. Thanks be to God. We will take a quote from the Book of Praise, number 27. What do we know about Jesus? John Dominic Crossan, a scholar who has spent the last 25 years researching this topic of the historical Jesus, describes him as a first century peasant in the Mediterranean who traveled the countryside teaching people about an alternative reality that he called the Kingdom of God. Jesus did not write a book. He had no smartphone to take a selfie of himself. We have no video of Jesus healing the sick or Jesus being crucified or rising from the dead. What we have are texts, all the Gospels, which we refer to today as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were written about 70 years after Jesus left the earth. So they were not history, they were more like recollections, interpretations of who Jesus was according to the early communities that followed him. These four are also the only four that made it into the Christian New Testament. There were many others that didn't, more Gospels than we can count. The Gospel of Thomas is one of them, which scholars today consider to be one of the primary sources of Jesus and who Jesus was. The other piece that we have about Jesus was written long before the Gospels were written by a man named Paul, an evangelist, you might say, who traveled the Mediterranean as well, who by his own admission never met Jesus in person. So for those of us who are interested in learning more about Jesus, where shall we go? To whom shall we turn? And what do we need to understand? In order to understand the text, we need to get familiar with the context, the culture, and the place where these things happened. So it happened in Palestine during the first century of the Common Era, about 30 to 100 AD, or CE, Common Era, as we say today. Palestine was the place it happened. This was Palestine before the state of Israel took some of the land. It was an agrarian society. People lived by living and working off the land. And their country at that time was occupied by a foreign power, the Empire of Rome. So they were peasants and they were elite. There was no middle class as we know it today. Jesus was a peasant. And peasants could neither read nor write. Since in these societies and in antiquity, the people relied more on talking like you do now, rather than writing or making books. Printing press had not been invented until the time of the Reformation, with Martin Luther and John Calvin, people that we know, being able to preach through the written word. As a colony of the Roman Empire, they were ruled by a governor assigned by Rome and also a local ruler. A governor that may ring a bell was Pontius Pilate. A local chief was Herod. So they were living under oppression from them, and now again there was unrest. And because of this long history of oppression through many neighboring kingdoms, from again from names that you will recognize, in the kingdom of Egypt under the Pharaoh, in the kingdom of Persia under Cyrus, and the exile in Babylon, these people longed for a day when a savior, a liberator, would come. And the Hebrew word for savior was Yeshua, where we get the name Joshua for Jesus. This Savior will be from a line of kings, a son of their great king, whose name was David. Have you ever wondered why it is that this is true, that all of these guys were Jews living in Palestine, that his friends were named Andrew and John, and Matthew, and Bartholomew? They all sound like they came from the UK. But we know that these have been anglicized, and one of the more popular versions of the Bible, of course, was King James. The Bible was not written in English, I don't need to tell you that. The kings at that time were anointed with oil when they assumed the throne. And so in the minds of the people, the one whom the prophet said would come to free them from the Romans will be anointed just like their kings. The Hebrew word for anointed was mashach, where we get the word Messiah. And that was translated into Greek as Christos, where we get the word Christ. So then, you have two words put together. Jesus, Savior. Christ, the Anointed One, the Mashiach. So you know that Jesus was not his first name and Christ was not his second name. That's how it appeared on his health card. That brings us to our story today. The writer of Matthew locates the story in a place that has empire written all over it, Caesarea Philippi, in the year 2 before the coming of Christ. Philip, son of Herod the Great, named him in honor of Caesar Augustus of Rome and himself. Caesarea Philippi is where the story is located. In Jesus' time, if you ask who is the Son of God, the answer to that question is the Emperor. The Emperor is the Son of God. Anybody else who claims that challenges the authority of Rome. And another thing we need to know is that this place, which is now modern-day Syria, as you read a lot about in the papers today, was the mythic birthplace of a god of the Greeks called Pan. Pan, according to mythology, was half man and half goat. He was the god of nature. And there were caves dedicated to Pan, and there were caves all over the place, as well as rocky mountains and hillsides. If you look at the pictures of this area, you would think that you were in Hamilton or Burlington with the escarpment, because that's how it looked like. And it is here in this pagan city of the Roman Empire, surrounded by these mountains of rock, that the storyteller says that Jesus poses the question to his followers, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Son of Man translated in the common English Bible as the human one, the Jew. The human being, the child of humanity. And they said, as most people think, that that refers to his cousin, John the Baptist. Elijah, who disappeared, you never know where he went. The story is that he was brought up to the heavens in a chariot of fire and was never seen again. And Jeremiah, one of the longest stories in the entire Bible, is about some 40 chapters. And then Jesus asked his second question, and who do you say that I am? And Peter, as spokesperson of the group, declares, you are the Anointed One, the Mashiach, the Son of the Living God. There is no record of Jesus or Peter asking Jesus the same question. Peter didn't say, what about you, Jesus? What about me? Who do you say I am, Jesus? What we know is that Jesus blesses him and gives him a new name. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. His father's name then was Jonah. You would not have been able to say that had it not been revealed to you by God. And I tell you, Simon, you are Cephas. It is translated as rock. In Aramaic, the official dialect of the Jews. And in Greek, that was translated to Petros, where we get the name Peter. And on this rock, and remember what we said about Caesarea Philippi, filled with all of those rocky hills, I will build my ecclesia, my community of followers, also translated as my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of the underworld, the gates of Pan, the pagan worshippers, will not prevail against them. So if you can name it, what would you say defines you? Us, as daughters and sons of the Most High God. How do we define ourselves? Living in 21st century Toronto. 2 weeks ago, somebody told me, if you have to pronounce the second T in Toronto, you are not from here.
You are not from Toronto.
If I'm getting that right now. How do we answer the question for ourselves? Who am I? Listen now. As Jack Nicholson asked Adam Sandler in this clip from the movie Anger Management, tell us about yourself, Dave. Who are you?
Who are you? Well, I'm an executive assistant at a major tech box company. Dave, I don't want you to tell us what you do, I want you to tell us who you are. Oh, alright, I'm a pretty good guy.
Even if she had the cash. Okay. I'm hearing because she was married, I'm hearing because women were not liberated then. Any more? The salesman exhibited an attitude of misogynism. We won't have time to define what that is. Okay. Perhaps in this man's mind, it is only men who understand money. When she said that she was married, the salesman said, "Then you have to have it in your husband's name." Marvin's argument was, "But he doesn't drive." And it became clear afterwards what the real issue was. It was not about whether he can drive or not. It was about sex. It was about gender. He happens to be the man. I shared with Marley how it's interesting to note that it is no longer 1915. To quote those words from Dorothy in the stage play The Wizard of Oz, "We are not in Kansas anymore. We are in a totally different place. We are in Toronto in 2014. And yet, there are places in our world where a woman cannot open a bank account or own land. A woman cannot go to school. There are places in our world where women are not allowed to drive a car, much less buy one. They are not allowed to vote. There are religions in our world today where women are not allowed to preach or to lead others in worship. Why? There are many reasons, but primarily because they are not men." And part of the invitation that I'm hearing as I read today's lesson from these Gospels is that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are not what we do, as Jack Nicholson said. We are not our hobbies. We are not what other people say we are, and we're not even the story that we tell ourselves about who we are. Like, we are not our problems. Our problems and ourselves are two different things. We are not alcoholics. We are people struggling with an alcohol issue. We come from God, and we belong to God. And there is a little seed of God inside each of us. In our Christian tradition, we talk about us being made. How are we made? In the image and likeness of God. And that includes the Hamas in Palestine and the people of the state of Israel. It includes the police force of Ferguson, Missouri. And that person that we prayed for last Sunday, Michael Brown, the 18-year-old unarmed boy that was shot dead. It includes this week the American journalist James Foley and the ISIS jihadist who took his head off. Every one of them is a child of God. Each of us has a family. Each of us has a name. And the children taught us that today. Each of us has a story, which for a growing number of us in the world today is ending abruptly because of violence, sometimes caused by race, sometimes caused by disease, sometimes caused by the color of somebody's skin. And as broken as it looks, if you follow Louis Armstrong, it is still a wonderful world. It is still the world that God so loved. And we are all anointed by God in baptism to liberate societies to be the savior. So whatever it is that society is bound by, is held by, is wounded from, or is broken inside, our call as Christians is to go out there and follow the way of Jesus. And so the challenge for us to take as we walk out into those streets today, Sunday, and the week, and the months to come, is to take this to heart and act like people who believe these things that we're just talking about. Why? Because you may be the only Jesus that they would ever meet. And you are the only gospel that they will ever get to read. You are the only Jesus they will ever meet. And the only gospel that they will ever get to read. That, sister and brother, is who you are. And that is a major challenge in Christianity today. And I know that you are up for it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Once again, the prayers will end with, may their burdens be eased. And your response is, and their lives be made whole. Let us hold in our hearts all those who are weighed down by sorrow, those struggling with hurt, those who are lonely, resentful, those who live in fear, and those who are in need. May their burdens be eased. Let us hold in our hearts all those who are unable to stand tall because of disease or prejudice, because of injury or addiction, because of self-doubt or failure in life, because of criticism and rejection from society, may their burden be eased. Let us hold in our hearts those who are prevented from being who they are, from being their true self by unjust workplace practices, by family patterns, by violence and threats of violence, and by all kinds of discrimination in society, may their burden be eased. And let us hold in our hearts all those whose view of Jesus and God and church and world has been limited by tradition and experience and mobility and other issues. May their burdens be eased. Together as a congregation, let us now say this prayer that Jesus left to us as a way of connecting with God. May you please begin.
Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name, the way of your house, and all the people of the world.
Hallowed be thy name.
Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom, sustain our hope and come on earth.
Your kingdom come on earth as it is.
All right.
corazones. El Señor te mire con agrado y te extienda su amor. El Señor te muestre su favor y te conceda la paz. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.